Victoria lady, I was marching across the building from another meeting. So, we got three things in our agenda. I insisted that we have this meeting because this relates to process issues that relate to this legislation. We need to go in place. In the advertisement that we sent out, we put the 6th of September as a deadline for submission on the cross-boundary fund law here in the the other one is the government laws amendment. Is that true? We did the same. Now, what which means that the idea was that once we have of the information, we would consider this and make a decision about whether we have an oral submission session, and if so, how long. So, because that would be very important to follow up on this from the basis of what you receive. I think there's no need to do so. We can arrive at that question from there, but we can't. I thought it's important to remind ourselves of that. Then we'll convey it to members to get, and then need to come and make it. What we would like to hear now from the department, whether we have made certain requests, one of them relates to able to look at the cross-boundary issue. The question of service delivery was the principal reason behind the doing away with cross-boundary legislation. Evidence mounted, let's calculate that, then be able to do that, we must do away with cross-boundary legislation. So one of our oversight responsibilities is an assessment of progress. In this regard, with a focus on the material. So that's the sort of thing that we expected. One of the things we also like to hear is whether there are any developments in that fund that we need to hear on. And for that, this is why Tetra Boa, who has become part of this committee, almost, is here with us today just to give us a briefing as well on both in the day. And just on the local government laws amendment, and there's a proposal that I have generated an act for, partly arising from our report from the Indian people, but also from the experiences of the work that I do elsewhere. So we have a proposal that works with the local government laws amendment. We are circulating to members to look at, so that when you finalize that, you take your report as well. With the submission that you're going to get. But we'll put that in your package and so on. And then finally, we will get some briefing on the
just a quick one to get clarity on the process. So the advertisement, so the deadline is 5th of September, that's tomorrow. The opportunity ads were placed in the local media there, were they? So I was just wondering where those advertisements were placed. Someone could indicate where they were placed. And then secondly, in respect to the process, what you're indicating then is once we've received those, tomorrow we look at them, and we make a decision tomorrow as to how we finalize the bill. That's what I would do. So I'm looking at the agenda here.
Didn't wait till the day when we were doing it. We were meant to say that we were
the reason I ask is this time frame here suggesting that we should be finishing it by the 11th. Does that still stand? So the committee is disappearing to the Eastern Cape for a while.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
We have to manage
those things. And the address is local.
Right.
The address is local.
You can
speak. At one place in the Rain Guardian, summertime, business day, all the things.
Yes, share with respect, which is exactly the concern I would have. If I live in Matapiel, I doubt very much I reach the way I might get a copy of the Sunday Times. It's highly unlikely I'm going to be the Guardian. I'm just wondering whether there's any thought given to whether the local media in the area might be in the new for a vehicle population address.
I agree with you, Honorable Smith, that this is the sort of thing that you need as well from the way.
I think that's something when it talks quite a lot about transformation. It how this aspect of the kind of media that is created. You see that people who are in the media are very poor. And there's a party of our party that if you want to deny us, we talk about as part of our community, have this thing to send down. The Sunday Times is extremely expensive for our people. That is the main guiding. So I think it's necessary, not only for this people, but in future we consider using community radios and electronic media, electronic media like Ushobo Enene, Inkwenkwezi, and all these other radio stations. Because I agree very fully with you. It's a problem. When you then stand in front of a machine, but you don't read the papers, they hear the thing from radios, like they talk about the floor, they say, but how did this come about? We never knew about it. Then they say, look, there was nobody hearing, they're supposed to be there. Then they said, we never got notice. Then he tells them about Sunday Times. He starts telling it to you with his car. Because Sunday Times is even expensive for me as a member of parliament. I'm not going to go into that. But what I'm putting across here, can the forum of Tepesi, with due respect, take this matter up with
you? Don't have to take it there. It's decided, it's a decision, it's a question of implementation. There's no debate about that. In other words, I'm saying you are right.
Somebody's not implementing that.
The question of implementation.
That's
implementation.
Oh.
Yeah.
So that's I'm not referring to ourselves, but it's common across this parliament.
Yeah. No, that's those decisions have been taken. You want just monitor, just implementation.
Mr. Chair, this is a follow-up. I mean, yeah. I seem to recall, I might be wrong, but I seem to recall what I have in company, that when we processed the Systems Act and we dealt with the issue of public consultation, we actually made it mandatory that the media utilized needed to be appropriate to those who are intended to be responding.
Exactly.
And in fact, this advised that local media should be used, and we haven't done so. So the question is, are we in fact compliant with our own injunction?
Yes.
And if we're not, the question then is, do you continue regardless, or do you adjust your time frames and adjust your processes to accommodate an altered approach?
Yes. Adjustment, you know as well as I do, it's not workable. You know that. There are those that, unfortunately, we are also responding to the Constitution. That requires us to finish things by a specific time frame. you can't camp out. You'll just get yourself going to be flying out into the east in case you might get some food. Camp out with the deadline to send up. I wouldn't care with any unless it's doing it otherwise. Find it impossible to camp out with it. It's not going to work.
I think you cannot change definitely.
Yes. Something we can't change.
We can
theoretically, but it will be with their consequences. We will have difficulty explaining.
Yeah.
If we find this is a problem. Okay, any other comments?
No, Jefferson, for us to close on the matter, in the spirit of plastic discussion, this issue of amendment derives from the very areas that is affected. The instruction by the court to do this, we have to assume that the involvement of both provinces and the structure would also close the gap in terms of without condoning what we are just saying for us to close on the matter. Let's assume that all those involved, given the submissions and the comments that we have received from that state, so that we close on the matter.
No, we are informed that communication, people have the information, that we know. I just didn't want to go into it, but that they know that they are acting on it, that we are going to get responses, we know about it. Okay. And this is already preparing for the process of communication. Okay. All right. There's no other comments. We will proceed on the basis that we are going to put our... we will oversee, just to say in addition, Honorable Deutsch, the chair of chairs, also spoke about Redwood Cross. He's a villager like you, where he just mentioned, concerned about Redwood Cross and so on. You also read Redwood
Cross.
Sorry?
He's a village
cross. Yeah. Like you, yes.
Village of Jordan.
No, I come from Kerouac.
No, you think because you come from Kerouac, has progressed from the end of my village. With a true instead of a 1-3. Alright, okay, let's proceed. This matter is very serious. Obviously, we recognize the impact it has on the quality of the work that we do here. So we take it very seriously. We don't take it lightly. Pepper, you want to?
Yeah. Thank you, Chief.
Take us, yeah.
Chief, there were two firm request instructions. So one was a request for a report on the status of service delivery in the SAPL, and then subsequently to that, a writing from a discussion between yourself and the Chair of the Justice Authority Committee request for also some briefing on all the court cases related to the public engagement process. Now, on the report on the service delivery, the department that finished the draft report there, unfortunately, the process of verifying some of the information. You can't get confirmation on some of the issues. So, if I may use the word sign off, I just was in communication with always to determine whether that has been finalized. The intention is still, if we can get it signed off by the end of today or early tomorrow morning, for the department then also to make the necessary copies for tomorrow's meeting and bring that report along. But that is the main challenge we have. We compiled the draft report, but now you all of a sudden talk about actual budget figures, so you can't get confirmation from the government. It's that kind of challenge. So, but we have drafted the draft report, and our endeavors are to have it here by tomorrow. But we cannot guarantee until we've signed off in 2016. The second request regarding the legislation, we decided to do some division of labor, and the Honorable Scotty will also be here tomorrow to address the meeting of the joint session of the People's Affairs Committee on the implications arising from all the court cases. Not only the Masafiel case, members must realize in the same week, basically, it was days out of each other, there was also the so-called health bond that was subjected, and they were also found to be invalid due to lack of public engagement. So the principles regarding the extent of public engagement is to some extent extended over more than one court cut, and your honor is coming here tomorrow to the commission. So that is the safety for us to take on the civil safety data.
honorable members, I just want to make one sweet comment because I think I did make it when you requested this. You see, there's an interpretation that suggests those court cases represent a trend in the manner in which government does this. Now, we are members of parliament. We must work with concrete data, with information. In the legislation that we are responsible for, which requires public participation, so in doing our oversight, while there may have been problems in particular areas and so on, right, this issue is an obligation on both national departments, provincial departments, and local governments in particular. So, what we want to understand in those conversations is, in a sense, what does it mean? The KwaZulu-Natal case, the Honorable Chief here from the province, we asked, you were there, what if KwaZulu-Natal saying is the reason for they did not hold public hearings? In other words, the Eastern Cape held public hearings, KwaZulu-Natal did not push. And so, this is why the court found that they should in fact do so. And then the result that the Eastern Cape must do it again. So in a sense, we're talking about the specific area that chose not to do it. Medium parliament didn't. The Eastern Cape didn't. That part of the world where it did not happen. Okay? Now, and then you have this, and then that gets linked with the termination of President today. And how it was conducted, the adequacy or otherwise of the consultation. And then they are clapped together to constitute the case of government and public participation. It's the data that you'd like to grapple with, and then when you come to a conclusion, you must be having the evidence. So that investigation is a very useful one for us, so that we can then make a pronouncement of sorts, having considered the actual story on this ground. That will be very useful. So, members, any other comment on what Pfeiffer has said?
Well, it's a question, I think maybe a partial comment arises from the last report we're getting here.
Yes.
As I understand what we're doing, we're getting a report on the consultations by the legislative process, particularly the legislative side of the process that we're concerned with. The headland legislators have had hearings, if not, why not, etc. Now, a great many bills that come to us from the executive go through the executive process of consultation first.
Yes.
And are amended at the level of the executive before they take them to Parliament.
Yes.
Now, it does appear to me that when we discussed this bill 2 years ago, that this would not happen in this particular case, but happy else. Now, in other words, the executive somehow sucked it out of the sun that a certain result should be obtained and published it. And we then a public consultation process started early thereafter. The question I have is that the same this time? And is there any, these court cases we're referring to when there comes to findings on public engagement, does that exclude just at the level of the executive or purely engagement on the legislature?
Thank you, Chief. Yeah, I think, first of all, the overall comment on public engagement, the court made it really, really clear on what the article says. It is within the economy and privilege of every legislator to determine what is the extent of the public engagement in the process. What the court did do, however, is to say where a subject matter is of such dire importance that requires extensive public engagement. It is incumbent on the legislature to actually engage in that. And it's within that context that we have conveyed some ideas and some views to the two legislatures when the team put together by the Minister Kumari visited the Eastern Cape Legislature and the KwaZulu-Natal Legislature. Because as was discussed last week in the meeting, the whole argument regarding a right to reside in a particular province was not about the right itself, but that was the precursor introduction to the relevance, to the importance of that matter to explain public engagement. And that's one passionate state that people should not take that one particular aspect and elevate it to
writer, because you're ready to get it from paragraph 79, 80, 81, 83 of the second judgment. It's clear that that is introduction, what you say. Your decision where to live is a very important decision. And as a result of that, it will require perhaps a higher level of engagement. So I think that is important, important to keep in mind. In respect of the current process, and that's one of the things that we debated last week as well, is that we are not starting with a new process. The fact of the matter is, to a large extent, the court, the constitutional court, to get the DICA term rectified by the DICA. The only guidance is really going to you have to process legislation afresh, which means you have to comply with all the processes. But added to that is that we've already institutionalized to a large extent the arrangements that we introduced on the 1st of March last year. Because we only were informed of the finding of invalidity in August last year. So from 1 March 2006 to August, government has already given effect to the legislation as it was passed. So to some extent we're in a difficult situation in the sense that we have to rectify the defect, but at the same time we also have to keep intact to some extent the arrangements that were put in place. But that does not mean that we're not open to be convinced otherwise. That is why the consultation process is now extended to those communities. But as we've also indicated at previous meetings, is that if the real concern is about service delivery, it's on an institutional level, the response to that might be rather on an institutional level than trying to reach the legal boundary.
Petra, you just listened to a very strong point of view. He alleges that you consulted, but he said that this is going to be the result, and therefore proceeded ignoring the consultation. That's what you did. That's what you wanted to answer.
Chairperson, now, then I can say now. I think the good response to that, perhaps in the process, is not communicating before that. Clearly, you raised that issue last week as well. But in preparing now currently for the Kaskong Court, I think for the first time we expressed quite a lot of views, and it's in the court case that we are publishing. The issue is that people tend to confuse local government or municipality implications with broader perspective. When you realign a provincial boundary, you also have to look at the integrity of your provincial area of jurisdiction. And as I explained last week, is that in reaching certain decisions regarding the alignment of provincial boundaries, the implication of demarcation will also be affected. In the sense that we have to ask you to say, if we redraw the boundary in a particular manner, how would you configure the municipalities within that new area? So there was that synergy. Perhaps, I think, the one thing that we have not yet done within our committee, and that would be just for the community of us to reiterate the reasons why the boundaries were drawn. I actually prepared a PowerPoint presentation with Matt.
Yes.
Now, I could point out the realities, and if the committee wants, we can meet again tomorrow or so.
And why?
Well, the why becomes quite apparent. Chair, I can already give a copy of the documentation for the activity to copy by tomorrow. But I've got in a PowerPoint that it's good to see visually. And the reasons are then becoming manifestly clear on their own.
Thank you, Chair. The last time I spoke, this was my maiden speech. Today is my last speech because I've been kicked off the committee again. And the Honourable
40 seconds over the refresh level. Yeah, we floor counting with like you did this morning, you see, from one building to the other. Chair, but, you know, the paper, you know, mentioned the question of how important the consultation is for the court in the Matatiele case. And I'm just wondering, you know, the information that we had this morning about the advertisement, whether somebody couldn't attack us in court on that specific issue in the paper. You didn't advertise properly, people didn't know. Because, you know, we didn't know that this was advertised in the newspaper, you know, and the committee didn't know that. I can't, but what I'm saying is, if somebody doesn't like what we're doing in Matatiele, couldn't they attack us in court on that basis? And there's another question I asked.
Chairperson, yes, at the previous meeting also with joint sitting with the Philip Committee on Justice, we debated this to some extent. And I've used the example at that stage to explain that. You say, if you're only dealing, let's say, with the justice, a pure and simple justice issue, the only people concerned with the processing of that legislation is policy, meaning the Portfolio Committee of Justice, the National Assembly, the Select Committee on Justice, and the NCOP. In that instance, their responsibility for public engagement will definitely be different from the present integrated process that we have. Because it's not only Parliament dealing with this legislation, there's a specific role to be played by the provincial legislatures as well. So in this instance, my view on the matter is that we do not need to replicate the fullest extent of consultation at every single point of process. It doesn't make sense, it's wasteful, and I don't think if you read that together with what the court said, that it's within the sole autonomy and jurisdiction of the legislature to determine how and to what extent it's going to be done. Albeit with the objective norms that you have to attach to that and look at it. And I expressed the view at that particular meeting also, that taking into account that the last process that was engaged in by Parliament was not faulted in the court. And we're doing exactly what the committees are doing, exactly the same as was done in respect of the Constitution Law Amendment, even in respect of the advertisement that you made, that you like. So I think that the level, the extent of consultation, will in this instance be different. And my own personal view, I don't think what is being done at national level with Parliament can be challenged on that. There is one question from Peterson regarding the Systems Act. The Systems Act applies to municipalities. So I think the committee can adopt principles, but it's not applicable in law to the committee.
What clearly we are dealing with on a regular basis is the tension and the necessity for managing the representative and participatory democratic process, manage those and manage the objective. And the process underway is actually a reflection of that. Maybe in the advert that we explicitly said we are asking for public submissions, for submissions on this field, because they are not using quite the same language. We expect the provinces to hold public engagement in those areas. So that's how we are communicating. So, including in your television stuff, which lots of people speak on, we communicated that this is going to happen. This is what is going to undertake it. And I can assure you that people there watch this and they have been responding to those things. So we can be confident that people are responding. So we will just at the committee session level, this way this process must be managed elsewhere. But in the communication of the nature of the material itself quite clear. While the committee has decided this is what they're going to do, and so they are like our last resort for checking if we do and we target our communication appropriately. That's the support role that they say, so they will be saying that. Remember, that's those two. Okay, Petra, This one, the local government amendment, but we just have to wait for the information. Unless members have any other thing that they would like to say on the local government laws and communication.
Yes, sure. I got the IEP story on Wednesday, and there was a feeling that was worse. IEP is considering what the law, electoral law, pertains to 2009, 2011, and so on. And there was an issue raised that they wanted to have some law. And I made reference to the fact that there is this general law on the paper now, and it's been given out of ICE and Chile sometime, and it's a surgery issue in the case of the minister. I don't know if the council of the competition was probably followed up with the issue of something that is now or not. I did, but see from the department side whether they followed up or not.
One of the points you're raising in Kenya is an important one. In other words, about the value of comments that are given to the department and how they treat them and what way that, based on which they can proceed with or without amendment. That's the adjustment college. So, one of the things about it is that the time frame that they use to do it, the department. Okay? We have had, I've seen submissions that complain about their time frame. But often, the nature of the complaint are also such that they seem to exclude or ignore or underestimate the importance of the additional template, which is parliamentary template, during which people can make their decisions. In fact, almost it may well be okay. You must make a choice whether you want to influence the legislation at its beginning or towards its completion and so on. So this information needs to be communicated to the public. That they've got those two, if I want to use numbers, opportunities for impacting. If they notice in time the legislation mentioned, but also one is mentioned in Parliament as well. Those are the two spaces and the time frame for the legislation making. That needs to be said and decided as well. What you are also raising is they gave us the submission, which they received. Now, let me ask you a direct question. This is just a theoretical game. What's the basis of those submissions? What do they say?
Well, they don't tell me anything, because if you say one organization or a separate organization, it's not a question of one versus 20, that's not how the rest of it works in public commissions. So it doesn't tell me anything, actually. You can't give weight to it. 10 individuals give you 10 submissions, and then you guys in Parliament, the 10 opposition parties say X, and then and the 10 parties against you, you say, oh, but we represent people, which we do the matter. So it's set aside. The number of representations doesn't determine their significance or their value. All it determines is that you want to explain.
Remember, your question was, what do they do with the submissions? I'm asking you, you saw the submissions. What did they choose?
I know the answer to that one. The answer was against the initial briefing. It was their job simply to correct the defect, and therefore they were reintroducing the same provision because that was what they asked to do by court.
So that's the best answer to this question.
No, it doesn't. The threat of marketing depends on the first time they did it, which is when they were protesting the bill back in 2003, 2004, 2005.
Yeah.
At that point,
yeah,
they didn't listen to the input that was being made. That's the point I'm making. Yeah, now it's out of curiosity, where does the court?
But is it not true that you also saw those as well? And did they tell you that kind of thing?
Yes, clearly. Absolutely.
This is very interesting. Yes,
there were also questions that such. I also insisted that the minister during that period also specifically targeted areas that were very concerned about the changes in the boundaries. And he personally went to those areas and engaged with the people. So it's not as if...
No, the
consultation did take place at the executive level.
He's taking a position, but he's advocating to the students. And I saw this submission. They came to us. hear two different versions. When? And I was reading it, I didn't hear one sentence.
2005. The issue that the IEP wants to raise is quite an important one. It's the issue of the fact that for electoral purposes we have no mandatory, there's no national address system in South Africa. If you went into certain parts of the country, you ask somebody's address, they turn left at the tree, cross the street, and walk 100 meters. And that's not an address. So there's been a long problem with addresses for things like voter registration and what have you. So I think the proposal that they want to make is to place an obligation on municipalities that they have to give an address to everybody who lives in the municipality. It's an issue of that nature. So it's actually a very interesting item for us.
Let me tell just quickly the challenge that I'm raising in my own head and I've heard this. The electoral legislation falls under the portfolio of the MSF, together with the IEC. So first of all, there's the Ministerial Division of Labour. And something like a requiring of everyone to have an address, it's not for the system tax, it's not for the tax tax. It would flow from the IEC legislation. And then you start dealing with other implications as well, because that would be a new mandate, new function given to municipalities to now actually do the work of home affairs, so to speak. But the address is exactly the problem. We've got wall-to-wall municipalities with the Kalahari Shemsport Park way out there. So you, I don't think we're, I don't think you can get away from the little stream, the little tree. Don't drop from the
lake. Yeah, talk to them anyway.
No, just a reflection on the matter. Professor, I can remember some things that South Africa did report to us on a project regarding addresses and the politics of the matter.
Yeah.
But also over the weekend there was going to papers, I can't remember which papers, on the post office, how transport it is that going to deal with the issue of addresses. I'm sure maybe we need to find time as to how we locate this issue. So
it affects. Okay, South Africa is working on that kind of problem. They are working with municipalities. But it is also the instance of police as well, in the nature of the settlement areas where, in cases of disaster and or criminal research, police can't get access, or disaster management people can't get access. So it affects a number of municipalities as well. So that went underway. But this is one of the things that we said this before, that looking at urbanization and migration, one of the consequences of that, if it is not managed properly, for example, is that you have this urban sprawl, this sprawling settlement that emerged almost spontaneously with municipalities, in a sense, sometimes unable to proactively prevent that from happening. And as a civic leader, when we occupied land before 1994, we did it in an organized manner where we did it. And after we mapped it out. So that when these things happen, we work with professional enemies from the NGOs to help us do that. And the idea is precisely to ensure that the nature of the settlement that you make, you have access to rooms or whatever else and so on. So that sort of thing. So I think what the IEC is concerned about is legitimate. But I don't know whether legislative is what you compel them to do. There's no debate about whether they themselves want to know who's staying in their area. And if you ask them, those are the sort of things that they are struggling with to manage and so on. Perhaps what something, the cluster that is relevant and needs to then communicate what support government can do working together to fast track implementation of ensuring that sort of thing happens. I don't know whether legislation is the route. I'm just thinking aloud. Okay. Any other comments?
Then one question remains, which is example, the challenge that the very data we rely on is unreliable or the issue of addressing impacts on the authenticity of the data is used. Because it reflects on only those numbers that are
A lot of the proxy addresses, they're technically correct. They proxy addresses. In other words, my address is Joseph Barbershop. Yes. Along with 500 other people, where I take my name.
Yes.
The proxy address.
No, what I'm saying, relatively speaking, the majority of people have addresses, including proxy addresses. Yes. That is traceable. Those completely have no traceable stuff. They are in the minority. The problem is dramatic. It's problematic. But they are not, the numbers are not, if you talk numbers.
Can I get that from something also the company I work for?
Yes.
We had what is called ODO, delivery.
Yes.
When we would fill in a form, if somebody buys furniture, yes. We would draw a tree and a river.
Yes.
And I say, oh, good, this is how we need to go about it.
Yes.
I'm not complicating it.
Yes. No.
It's an area that we need to do.
It's exactly what we do on our grand day. Yes. No.
If the day that tree is not there, it's a problem.
I just discovered it was an island tree, not too much water. So we got rid of it. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I just want to add on what the Honourable Mishuri has just indicated in terms of address. Down there or up there in the rural areas where in the book, this problem of address is really affecting people. In my home village, people got more than three numbers on their flight. So, and they actually don't know which number to use. That's actually a complicated matter because you've got a number from S-form when they were giving them the students. They've given them number. And there is this question of new numbers coming from municipality. They want you to provide the people with the charges and all this stuff. So, and there is also another number coming from S-form. So, they've got three numbers. So, sometimes they don't know which number to use. So actually, I think that used to be
high. Yeah, no, you're right. That's in the picture that by the Luhota from South Africa was telling. They're dealing with those issues, working together. It's a service delivery. At the heart of it, for example, is the Demarcation Act, which we passed in 1998, said that every service delivery department must align its boundaries. Now, one of the key part of that program is this issue of service delivery. When we give people a possibility to access them, you must know where they are. You must be able to present the person, whichever the department is. So we must also be operating with the same system as well. So it is linked to that overall process. And what we need to get feedback on is what progress has been made with implementation of what we agreed on about those integrating that, including the question of implementation of the
boundary.
We must remember that the teacher who provoked this item, which potentially could be on the agenda for amendments, but we will not be the
same.
Fine.
I just say what prompted this issue is that it's been on our agenda, like the appeal probably able to be for years.
Yeah.
And we keep on pushing the IEC. Okay. And they've reported a lot using the track and they've not included this issue.
Yeah.
And because the role players include Telecom, EFCOM, etc. They've not included and they have concrete proposals to make.
Yeah.
Now my personal view is that it's not a benefit issue. It may well be that the proposal coming from them and actually by the ministry, you know. Check, and I don't even know that it's a new function of the government. I just think it would be huge. That it's something that any municipality would have to do for its citizens, for its residents, that give them an address. And whether the
purposes for electoral purposes, not because it's a separate issue. You could just rotate for credit control purposes. It could be for anything. It doesn't have to be for electoral purposes. So I think this is a municipal function, and if it's going to be for the few, it could just as well be for this department as to any other. Should it have to be this one?
No, the important thing, ladies and gentlemen, honorable members, that this is an integrated government approach, and that is underway. What we need to find out, what progress is being made. It may well be that it happens at municipal level, where the voting is happening in so. But in the scheme of things, no ESCOM does what it does the way it is. We know that others do other things as well. So what we are calling for, what we can formally adopt here, is a resolution that says that the committee having heard that there is informal, that there is a request for fast tracking, giving citizens address, and then it affects the number of departments and service delivery agencies, that we urge those departments and clusters that are responsible for that to fast track that issue. Is that in order, Honorable Senator? Can we say that? Okay, we will communicate that, and that's the resolution of this committee. An important one, isn't it?
And fast track to this bill that we need?
I don't think we can presume that.
Potentially,
yes. Potentially, yes. But I, yeah, right. May well have a different case. So. Okay. The honorable member, you've done with those three things, the first boundary, the local government staff. We are going to get first additional briefings tomorrow, and then tomorrow is the last day of submission that we're going to receive. We need to look at them and find out the latest decision about the public hearing. The last part.
I don't know if it works, but let me tell you that there are two changes in the deal that have been identified to the oversight of Zana a week prior to the decision. The oversight to Zana a week prior would be the week of the 10th to the 14th of September. That is the week that have been identified to all the students to go there. We will then drop the report, which will then be at the committee, which starts from the 17th, 18th, and 19th of September, following Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Just to also inform you that our goals, we are talking about the current boundary goals, have been scheduled, and this was changed, they have been scheduled for 2 years. So by the 19th, after the previous assembly, we will be coming back to Parliament to specifically deal with, amongst other power goals, in the implementation of our with that in mind, our chair has indicated that we can have a crossing road, which would mean that the commitment, if we're going to have the goal in the House of the 20th World, we would have to pass the D25 by the staff or person. I think the chair had indicated that we should try and do some oversight of the ballot before the next meeting. But that would depend on our having finalized the voting by. Because if we are able to finish it by the staff, the committee members can fly out the option of the job. We will do oversight for Thursday, Friday. And again, the reference to the suggestion is that we try and finish by the shop if we can. Otherwise, we will have to forego the Zana. I think it's important to have to give us a view that the regulation is quite important. But it also indicates that it's important that we will also
I don't know what the details are going to be. Can I just say, at that point, the important thing for us to remember is the cross-boundary legislation is linked to obviously it means that we have to communicate this to all members to be there on the day. So that when we process it, we really have to try to but you must try and get
I understand that we should pass the bills together, but it doesn't mean we have to pass them before the province bills pass the bills. I mean, we have to pass before that. We have to pass before they initiate a consultation process. They can be doing their processes whether we pass it or not. Is that right, Bill?
No, we go ahead and then they go through their process.
No, what I mean is, if we don't pass it by the 11th of the first, if we would have to pass it when we get back into the ground, does that constitute any problem in respect of the time frame?
No,
I'm
not sure.
You said we're going to pass by the 11th
of the 12th. So the commission passes the legislation on the 12th.
Yes.
If the same way, if you both vote on the House of the CFP, the first vote will be the National Assembly, which is usually for the
20th. Yes, and I'm saying the work this week is, would it make any difference to what happened with the province?
Chairperson, the process basically is that formally, the provinces cannot proceed on the processing of the legislation until it's been brought by the National Assembly. As far as I understand the process, as far as the preview to the whole public engagement process, apparently the stuff that the provinces, the two provinces involved, have already started on a communication kind of consultation. So that the people are informed so that you can have the means to engage. Time frame, yes, the ECOP cycle won't be given sufficient time for people to formally engage and have public participation. So yes, that is important. Also, I think numbers-wise, we've been, the cost down the building, piggyback on the 13th Amendment. So you've got the constitutional amendment with constitutional required numbers that must approve the bill. So I think even on the numbers side, I doubt it whether people will be allowed
to follow it.
So I think they are linked to getting in that case. Keeping tomorrow's meeting is still the same venue because that is a coffee table and tea and that's it. I've been there the other day when it was changed last week. I've seen the venue, so I'm just asking.
Yes, we will try. The venues are the problem. We'll try and get to the
coffee table and three chairs.
So, we're going to be getting a traditional leaders' meeting on Athenian Day as well.
There will be what any option is, but
we should be able to take a photo of that. Why? The law is presented here. Why did we do it now? Why are we explaining it?
Let me explain. The gentleman is...
Everyone is smart.
Smart. Do you introduce yourself properly, please?
My name is Hermann Smack from the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor.
Oh, okay. Look, no, you can talk to them, do so. The reason I thought it is not necessary was that you see, there was an assumption that we were asking the reason for the non-reference of the DOD traditional traditional law. And that was not my understanding.
Oh, right.
Yes. So we because we were given that to you, that's how we came to it. We said, no, we see no harm in it being represented to
as long as they are mindful of the territory, they can give us their food, they must handle themselves. That's why I didn't think there's a need for presentation. Unless members want to get them under the table and give the gentleman the space to speak. If you feel like you wouldn't have had your living today, sir, you can talk to us about it. But you know what? There's no harm in doing it. Do it briefly, and then we'll be sent. But that's the position that I adopted, and I assume that was the position of the committee.
No, sure, to be very clear, we said it's not legally required, but it's politically desirable. So we were simply making a recommendation of policy line.
Yes, we are not handling with the law of the state, but with the politics of the matter.
Yeah.
Yes. Go ahead, Chief.
Thank you, Chairperson. Briefly, yes, the legal position is that this trust boundary bill does not pertain to traditional law. As defined, and as if you look at the whole act, if you look at the traditional leadership and governance framework act, you must measure the word pain against the act itself. So we confirm that view, but you're 100% correct. It's your option to refer it to the House and ask their views about, but there's no legal obligation on you to do that.
No, thank you very much. We understood that. And that's fine. That's all we can communicate to them and let them give us a view. They have a view on the matter. Members, I think we need to just go back to the area issue, preparation for the plan. We need to think about doing that. I was not at court for it. So maybe those of you who were there can tell us based on your experiences, what you think would be the best approach to use given the limited space of time that we have. We are likely to have 2 days at most. So do you have any reflections about how we should approach those meetings? Yes, that is true. Welcome, Honorable Mr.
Jefferson, the first one has to do with what we dealt with in our last meeting of arrangements, logistics. But the second one, Jefferson, takes me back to the point I made in our last meeting, that there is a need for this committee to cooperate with the other committees that will be consulting or doing an oversight over the same municipality. And I cited an example of the commercial transport that deals with ITP, whereas we deal with the IDP. And I'm saying issues of development, given that
in my meeting, acronyms are N unless you explain the sense of them.
Yes.
Otherwise, don't use them.
No, I respect
you. Are the only one who sits in the transport committee. You know about ITP.
Okay, no,
thank
you.
You don't know what that is.
No, we
take a chance,
you
have
one. We have the integrated development plan, that is the IDP, which should have an integrated transport plan, which is the very central component of development in any area in terms of economic and social integration. So I'm using that as an example. I would have. The other one, clarity in terms of the gray area that you have indicated that we'll have to go there. So we suggest that in order to manage time fruitfully in both borders. That was an approach that was adopted and the real estate concerned that because they're dealing with the same municipality that sometimes jointly and then later on issues that affect, we then had to, for instance, we met with the council politicians at some stage. We even had a follow-up meeting, and we also met with communities in terms of certain issues. But the last one, definitely, is your silence on the others, on the date of the 17-18-19. Because some committee will be there. I'm saying also we need to be clarified so that the issue of arrangement. Llewellyn has confirmed that from the 12th, that is from the day we leave Parliament here, the committee will take responsibility up to the time when we come back over the weekend. But now on the question of the 16th going to Lausanne up to the 19th, we add then we'll rely on the chairperson with the chair of chairs. Because if that program rests with Parliament, that means we'll get maybe a briefing by tomorrow from you in terms of what are the arrangements. And just to say, for instance, honorable members, just sitting in the other committee, much as I do, you might find that if with other members, there's this overlap in terms of committee, so that we do not compromise quality in terms of the committee.
Forward integration, sort out the logistics, and make sure that we deal with both. Members agree with the good day. Is that okay? Let it go. Let me regard it as that.
Yeah,
by the way, that's a different story. Okay, okay, members, we're already done for today. The program, you have this outline, the various
Thank you very much.